sponsoring Kiddush.
I believe, I just want to give a quick plug. I believe that this morning there's a shir at Beth Shalom at 10:15 from Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky. Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky is a tremendous gadol b'Torah. When I was in Eretz Yisrael for my couple years learning between high school and college, I used to learn there on Thursday nights. I had a chavrusa there. And he's just a tremendous Adam Gadol, and I'm sure the shir will be amazing. So I want to encourage everyone to go. I cannot go because I have a chasana that I have to be at in the Five Towns, but I will listen to the shir on online. Oh, we also want to acknowledge that I thought you were showing me that a HaKiddush will follow.
No, not that part.
Okay, it's fine. All right. So we wanna say that the shir this morning is in memory of L'Ilui Nishmas Yosef Yitzchok Ben Yehuda Leib Zatzal, who is J.J. Rabinowitz's father. So his neshama should have an aliyah, especially with such a chashuv adaf in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we're up to Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara tells us the following: Upiv Mitzupa Zohav. The Mishnah discusses a shofar that they used to blow, that the mouth of the shofar was covered in gold. So says the Gemara about Tanya, but we learned in a brisa, Tzipihu Zohav Bimakom Hanochas Piv. If you cover the opening of the shofar with a little bit of gold, puzzle, that's puzzle. Why would that be puzzle? Says Rashi, Shiatakiya Bizohav Velo Bishofar. The material of the shofar is significant to the performance of this mitzvah. It's not just the kol that's produced through the shofar. It's the chefza shel shofar. It has to be a shofar. You have to blow a shofar. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks extensively about the concept that the blowing of the shofar is the infusion of the life breath that was put into us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. God blew into our nostrils a force of life. And then the mitzvah of shofar is to blow that force of life out in a call to tefillah, to really reach down into the primordial aspects of our soul and express from the very depths of who we are in the context of tefillah. And that happens through the medium of shofar. And the shofar, you have to connect to the shofar itself. So what's this? You can cover it in gold. So says the Gemara, Shelo b'makom hanachas piv, kosher, that if the gold, it's not talking about where the gold is exactly on the, if the gold is not in the place that it's hanachas piv, where you put just a nice gold, adornment on the outside, so that's considered kosher. Sometimes you're in Eretz Yisrael and you look at the shofars and you see that they sell, some of them have like nice designs on the outside. So the Gemara says that's kosher. So in our Mishnah, the answer is, when our Mishnah said that you're not allowed to, that you cover mitzupa bizov, it didn't mean the actual place where you put your mouth. You have to have some space where you put the shofar up to your mouth directly, but rather somewhere else on the shofar. Somewhere else on the shofar. The Rishonim say, we see from this Gemara, that there has to be contact between the mouth and the shofar itself. If somehow you could create a call of the shofar, a voice of the shofar, a tekiah, through infusing the airway, I guess, without having contact directly with the shofar, that would not be considered acceptable. You have to have contact between the person and the shofar.
Just like a mouthpiece.
Like a mouthpiece would not be proper. Right, chatzitza of some sort, right. V'shtei chatzotza. What? Oh, so that we're going to, that's discussed. Did we already discuss that? That's discussed with the right, and the question becomes, right, in the mikdash, not in the mikdash. V'shtei chatzotzros min atzadim. So says the Gemara, there are two chatzotzros. The Mishnah said that when they used to blow the shofar, they would blow two chatzotzros, one on each side of the shofar. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you're blowing things together? So we always imagine tkiya shofar, you're just listening to the shofar, right? Everybody remembers, v'tray kali lo mishtami. The Gemara says, you can't hear two voices at once. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa, zachar v'shamar v'dibor echad. The miracle of the Aseres HaDibros is that zachar and shamar were said at the same time. Masha'ein ha'peh yechol l'daber, v'ein ha'ozen yechol l'shmoa. something that's not really possible to for a human being to do, and not really possible for a human being to process, right? The utterance of two words at the same time. Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad, because we know Shabbos has two components. It has the mitzvah losa, say, the shamar as yom haShabbos l'kadsho, all of the shmira Shabbos, and as zachar as yom haShabbos l'kadsho. Shabbos is not supposed to just be don'ts. Shabbos is also supposed to be do's, to infuse our lives with sanctity, with kedusha, with connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Am Yisrael, to ourselves, to our families. And so therefore, shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. You can't have Shabbos, one without the other. Can't have Shabbos where you're just focused on Hilchas Borer, and you can't have Shabbos where you just make Kiddush and ignore all of the details of Hilchas Shabbos. Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. But what do we see from this? We see trei kali lo mishtami. You can't hear two voices at once. And here we reference the famous incident in Young Israel of Passaic Clifton when we were in the Yeshiva Ketana. And the very last call of the shofar, we had our shul in the school for 3 years, waiting to build our new beautiful building. And on the very last set of kolos, I think it was the very last call, on the very last set of kolos, as he blew the Tkiyah Gedola, the bell for the school day rung out, and both happened at the same time. So, trei koli lo mishtami, it's a beferish gemara. You cannot have some other voice going along with the shofar. So we knew that we had to blow the shofar call again. The problem was, we had to wait, if I recall, a full 5 minutes before everyone could stop laughing and recapture the solemnity of the moment of the final call shofar of so that the Baal Tokea could get it out, so that the rabbi could get it out, so that everybody could come back together. That was not simple. But that's this Gemara. That's the halacha lamaisa. And we'll see, it's even a little bit more halacha lamaisa. What?
Heshi telling you time is up soon.
Yeah, yeah. Baruch Hashem. All right. So lishmola. So therefore, it says the Gemara. V'ena yochel lishmola lekach marech b'shofar. So the Gemara says. So what did they used to do? So all three blew at once, and then they were marech the shofar. So then the chatzotzros cut short, and the shofar itself extended the rest of the call. Dechishama sov tekiya below tchilas tekiya yotza. So it sounds like if you hear the end of the tekiya without the beginning of the tekiya, you're yotze. In other words, you didn't hear the totality of this kol, its beginning, its middle, and its end. All you heard was a kol, right? Because the beginning of that kol was concurrent with the blow of the chatzotzros. And that was therefore distorted by having multiple kolos at once. So because of trei koli lo mishtami, the beginning of this kol you didn't hear, you just heard the end of the kol. Umimela tchilas tekiya belov tov tekiya yata. So it sounds like you don't need to hear a kol in its independent, encapsulated, total. But rather, as long as you hear a segment of kol, as long as you hear some kol, that's considered your yotzei the mitzvah. It doesn't matter if something's distorting the kol in the beginning of the blowing, or if something's distorting the kol at the end of the blowing. If you got your tkiah in, you got your shir tkiah in, then you're good to go. The Gemara says, I'm not sure that's the halacha, because toshma, we learned, toka berishono moshach bishniya. If you're dealing with, so in the times of the Mishnah, when they used to blow shofar, so today we blow all sorts of different configurations to account for many different opinions. They used to blow tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, multiple times. So what did the guy want to do? He wanted to, I guess he was having trouble, whatever it was, so he wanted at the last set of the first ones, the tekiah at the end, and the tekiah at the beginning of the second ones, that should be one long call, and it should count for both. So the Gemara says, Ein biyado ela achas. It doesn't work. You only get one. So amai, why is that? Tisalek le betarti. Why can't it count for both? It should count for both, right? Because if you think about it, so what? So you don't have the beginning of the second call. But this beginning of the second call, because the beginning of the second call is really the end. Sorry, you don't have the beginning of the second series, because the beginning of the second series was really the end of the first series. But so what? We don't care about the end of the first series. We don't care that you didn't get the beginning of this call, as long as you have a call, because that's what we learned from the fact that the chatzotzros could distort the beginning. So the Gemara says, at ein biyado ela achas, amai, why not? Tisalik lebitarti. So why can't you just, so the Gemara says, Psuket kiyosa madrade lo paskinon. The Gemara says, no, there's another reason why that doesn't work. The other reason that doesn't work is because you're not allowed to take one long kol and divide it in counting it into two independent kolos. Meaning, even if it was permissible to distort the beginning of a kol, and you only need a kol, there's a separate chiyuv here that each set, each tekiah, needs its own independent blow. And therefore, yes, you can distort the beginning as long as you have the end, but and yes, you could distort the end as long as you have the beginning, but you can't use one for two different sets. So the Gemara says that's the that's how we deal with that kasha. Toshma, tokei l'tocha bar, but 1 second. If you blow into a bar, and we're gonna actually have this Mishnah soon, you blow into a pit, l'tocha dos, or into a cistern, l'tocha pita murin, into a barrel, imko shofar shama. So if I hear the voice of the shofar itself, yatsa your yotze. Vimko havara shama, but if you hear the voice of the echo of the shofar reverberating off of the walls of the bar, so then, lo yotza, you're not yotze. Amai, why aren't you yotze? Lepuk betchilas tekiya mikami de la arvev kola. Why aren't you yotze? After all, even when you hear the echo is only the next thing you hear. You hear the initial blast, it's just the subsequent blasts are the echo. So you got in the initial blast, and even though you're hearing the echo afterwards, it should count. The Gemara says, okay, so let's backtrack. Elatarti kole michad gabra, we're going to qualify this din of trei kole lo mishtame. Right? In other words, if it's really true, trei kole lo mishtame, so why are you not yotze b'kol havara? So the Gemara says, trei kole lo mishtame, michad gabra lo mishtame. Mitrei gabra mishtame. When it's coming from one entity, two different voices are not discernible at all, and therefore you can't connect to either of them. When it's coming to, and therefore, and that's the case of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he says, Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad, ein ozen yachal lishma, you can't hear that. But when two different things are being said by two different people, so then, if you concentrate carefully, there you can perhaps process what's being said. Umitar tegavim mishtami, is that true? V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, v'torah, when it comes to Torah, echad korei, when it comes to kriyas haTorah, one person reads, v'echad mitargim, and one is mitargim each pasuk, they read a pasuk, they're mitargim a pasuk, u'bevad, shelo yu, shnayim korim, or echad korei, v'shnayim mitargim, and you can't have two people, and that's two separate people, so that seems to say that trei kol lo mishtame, that you can't hear multiple voices at once, you can't process multiple voices at once, that seems to be a din in two separate people as well. So the Gemara says, no, our case is not comparable to that case. Holo damya elo l'seifa. Our case is comparable to the seifa of that case. The seifa of that case says, b'halo megillah afilo asara korin, even b'halo megillah, even if ten are reading, that it's mutter. Why? Ama kevin de chaviv yoiv date. Because even though trei koli lo mishtame, when people are saying multiple things, you can't concentrate. But when it's chaviv, when it's something that's precious to you, when it's something that's meaningful to you, so then you can process what's being said. So since the Megillah and since these things are chaviv, you can process it. Hachanami here too, kevan de chaviv, since the shofar is chaviv, Yoiv Daite Vishama, you can hear what's going on. So the Mefarshim ask, and what? Kriyas HaTorah is not Chaviv. So the Gemara says, Chaviv means it's something, it's not just something that's precious, it means it's something that doesn't happen all the time, something that happens without regularity. When something happens with regularity, so then you begin to somewhat habituate to it. And some of the Mefarshim say that since we have a Chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, by the time you get to Shul, you're not just hearing the Kriyas HaTorah for the first time, you're hearing the Kriyas HaTorah for the third time, and you're hearing the Targum for the second time. And so it's not chaviv, meaning it's not unique, and therefore it's not something you're focused on the same way. But when it comes to Kia Shofar, even though trei kolei lo mishtame in general, from two different people, if it's chaviv, then you can discern what's what, and then therefore you can be yotze with Kriyas HaTorah, with Kia Shofar. So if that's true, Daite Vishoma. El Lama Marech B'Shofar, but we said that they're Marech the Shofar a little bit further. So why do they do that? We got rid of the reason because of Trei Kol Lo Mishtame is a problem. Trei Kol Lo Mishtame is no longer a problem because it's Chaviv. So why do you have the Shofar extended? Leida Shemitzas Hayom B'Shofar, because we want to concretize that the Mitzas Hayom is with the actual Shofar. Uvitanios, so on the Tanios, Bishel Zecharim Kefufim Upiv Mitzupa Kesef. We use the male curved, and we use it. The piv is coated in silver. We know not the actual mouthpiece, but the top is coated in silver. Maishna Asam Dezav Maishna Hachad the Kesef. Why by a tinus do we use the shofar coated in Kesef? And here we on Rosh Hashanah we use one coated in Zav. So the Gemara has two answers. One answer is Ibayasema Kol Kinufa Ya the Kesef. Anytime we gather, we do it with silver. Dichsiv Aselach Hashtechatzotros. Kesef, the Shtei Chatzotzros, which was to gather the camp, that was done with Kesef. And the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah is not to gather with people. The Shofar of Rosh Hashanah is to inspire tshuva. It's a form of tefillah. It's whatever the different reasons for Shofar. Another reason is, Atorah Chasa, Amimonon Shel Yisrael. The Torah wanted to make sure that mitzvos, we can't formulate mitzvos in such a way that they're out of reach of the typical income level of the Jewish people. And therefore, we didn't want to make a requirement that all shofars be plated in gold. Hasam nami neva de kasef. Hasam nami navid de kasef. So hasam nami navid de kasef. So why don't we also for Rosh Hashanah only require the thing to be in kasef? Why do we require gold at all? So afilu haki kavod yantif adif. So kavod yantif, we make you spend a little extra money, and you have to plate it in gold. Rapapa bar Shmuel sarve lemevet ovdu kamas nisan. Rapapa bar Shmuel, who was a rav in Bavel, wanted to do this like the Mishnah, have the two chatzotzros and have the shofar in the middle. Amar le Rava, Rava said to him, lo amru ela b'mikdash. That was only done in the mikdash. Tanya Amihochi, we have a brisa to prove this. Bamedvar Mamurim, where do we say that we do this? The Shtei Chatzotzros b'mikdash. About Begvulin, but outside the mikdash, Makom Sheyesh Chatzotzros ain't shofar. If at the time that you're blowing Chatzotzros, you don't blow the shofar, like on a tainis. Makom Sheyesh shofar ain't Chatzotzros. The time with their shofar, like Roshan and Yovel, you don't have Chatzotzros. V'chein inig Rav Chalafta v'tzipori v'charnina b'tradion b'sichni. And they also had this minig to use Chatzotzros outside the mikdash. Shabbat davar etzel chachamim. And when this matter came before the chachamim, Amru, they said, lo hayu lo no again came. Shouldn't do that. We didn't use the Chatzotzros. Elo b'sharei mizrach on the eastern gates of the Azara over Harabayis and on Harabayis. So, Rashi quotes two different deos. Is it the eastern gates of Harabayis itself, or is it the eastern gates of where the Ezra's Nashim was? Amar Rava, says Rava, V'yitem Rav Yishua ben Levi, my kara, what is the pasuk d'chsiv? It says, V'chatzrotzros v'kol shofar hariu lifnei hamelech Hashem. Right? We quote this pasuk in our davening, that with the chatzrotzros and the kol shofar, we blow before the Melech Hashem. Lifnei Melech Hashem hu debi'inon chatzotzros v'kol shofar. Before the Melech Hashem, we need chatzotzros and kol shofar. That's in the Mikdash. That's where the Malchus Hashem is. But in the Ba'alma, everywhere else, lo, we don't need it. Then the Mishnah said, Shava ha-Yovel l'Rosh Hashanah l'tkiel l'brachos, that Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are equated with respect to the blowing of the shofar and various brachos and tefillah that are made. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Keman, according to who, Matzlina na'inna, do we have today's tefillos formulated, where we say, in the context of our tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha. Today is the beginning of your handiwork, the beginning of your creation. Zichron liyom rishon, a remembrance for the first day. Keman, who's that according to? Rabbi Eliezer. Famous machlokas we've had through Maseches Rosh Hashanah. When was the world created? So this follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. To Amar b'Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei. Masiv Rav Ina Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah Litzkiyav LeBrachos. So Rav Ina asked, one second, we said that Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are the same for the tkios, that when we declare Yovel, we blow these tkios, v'lebrachos, and also in the tfilos that we say. Va'ika zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha, zichron liyom rishon. But one second, we have this tfilo that we say on Rosh Hashanah, that today is the beginning of the creation of the world. It's a remembrance of the first day, deb Rosh Hashanah iso v'yovel lesa. When was Yovel declared? Yovel was declared on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is not the beginning of a world. So what does the Mishnah mean that it says that we equate the two? So Kiktani Asha'ara. So the Gemara says, no, when it says that that we equate them in terms of tefillah, it means on all the other brachos. Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi Masni Hachi, the same discussion, but with a little bit of a different formulation. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hod, it's not that we learned in the Mishnah, Shabbat Yovel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiyah V'Lebrachos, that we learned that we equate Rosh Hashanah to Yovel for Tkiyah in Brachos, Kiman, who is that opinion following? Delo Rabbi Eliezer, it must not be following Rabbi Eliezer. D. Rabbi Eliezer, following Rabbi Eliezer, it came into Amar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. He says, B'Tishrei, the world was created. So and that's only true on Rosh Hashanah. It's not true on Yovel, where we have these tefillos on Yom Kippur. So Kiktani, no, when we learn this list or this equation, Asha'ara, it's talking about all of the other brachos. Okay, new Mishnah, bottom of Daf, Chavzayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shofar shenizdak v'davko pasul. So you have a shofar, and it cracks, right? Sometimes happens. Yeah, shofars, they're not impenetrable, right? You have them for many years, they fall, they whatever, they wear out, they cracked. So what do? So you take a cracked shofar, and you glue it back together. Put it back together. Rashi says, B'devek shekorin glued. Guess that's Elmer's glue, right? Put it back together. So then the Mishnah says, that's puzzle. You're not allowed to do that. And Rashi says, why is that possible? Very important, Rashi. Tehavale kishnei shofros. Because that feels, that has the status of two separate shofar. Rashi seems to believe that there is a cloud, there's some sort of principle, that you have to only blow out of one shofar. And now you have basically two separate shofars stuck together. Now, it's not like these are two independently functional shofars, right, that you've stuck together. These are two pieces of a shofar. But Rashi says, it makes it as if the shofar is not a complete singular entity. It's as if you have pieces from two different shofars, and you've artificially fused them together. The Sefer says, debuk shivrei shofros, pasul. What if you have the shofar, it breaks into many different pieces, and you stick them back together? So that's also pasul. So Tosis here does not like Rashi's pshat, because according to Rashi, it would seem that both of these statements are really saying the same thing, right? One is saying that the shofar separates completely. It sounds like the crack is all the way down. And so therefore, on two sides. And so therefore, they separate completely. It's like two separate pieces, the two shofros. Because as Tosis, if it was only down one side, then that would not be two separate shofros. That would be some other problem. And so, and therefore, what's the chiddush of the seifa? Many, many different pieces. So that's why Tosis rejects Rashi's pshat. Tulsa says, maybe it's only talking about it goes down one side, and it's not because it's two separate shofros. It's because it's not considered a shofar shalim. It's not considered a shame shofar. It's not called a shofar if it's got a crack all the way down the side. And the Sefer of the Mishnah, it's like a lo zuafsu ktoni. Not only is this puzzle, but it's also puzzle if it's in many different pieces. The Mishnah is just trying to build one case on the other. I was looking at the Rush a few minutes ago, he has a pshat to sort of defend Rashi, that maybe there's a difference between the broken pieces that sort of like, I was about to pick this up, but the broken pieces that sort of break down, you know, this way and this way, and a crack that goes straight down this way. He wants to say that the kol, if the crack is down the length, then the kol sort of shoots down a kosher shofar down this side and down this side. You know, it's just a question of whether or not that's part of the same shofar. Whereas if the cracks are all the way through, so then the kol is passing through cracks themselves. That maybe that's a different problem. Anyway, that's for another time. So then the Mishnah tells us, Nike visosmo, what happens if there's a hole? So it's not a crack that's going to compromise the integrity of the shofar, but there's a hole in the shofar. So the Gemara says, visosmo, and you try to plug it up. So imme ake visatkia, if by plugging it up you tamper with the tekiah itself, meaning the tekiah is different with the hole, with the repair, without the repair, possible, it's possible. Obviously, why? Because now the tekiah is a function of this added component, and not of the natural shofar. V'imlav, but if you have not really contributed anything external that's going to tamper with the integrity of the kol, so then perhaps not. So says the Mishnah, then it would be kosher. Hatokeh l'toch ha-bar, and this is the Mishnah we saw quoted earlier, if you blow into a bar l'toch ha-dusur, into a cistern l'toch ha-pitim, or into a barrel, Him kol shofar shama, if you heard the voice of the shofar, yatsa, then you're yotzim. Kol avara shama, if you're the echo, lo yatsa, then you're not yotze. A few years ago, we had a drasha about this Mishnah. The difference between hearing the call of the shofar and the echo of the shofar. What's so terrible about hearing the echo of the shofar? The echo of the shofar, you know, is what do you call it? It's still sound waves of the shofar itself, so they're bouncing one off the other. You know, I mean, sound works. What does it mean? How can you have anything without an echo at all? You blow a shofar in a room, you know, there's some echo, there are different pieces. So why Mishnah is so makpid? So the whole point of the shofar, as we mentioned before, is to express what's inside the depths of a person. And you blow that personality, that reality, that individuality out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in service of Hashem and in tefillah and in the sense of renewal and in tshuva. And it's all about reaching the essence of who you are. So reaching the essence of who you are has to be done with authenticity, has to be done with the core call of who you are. Cannot be done through what reverberates off of the environment around you. Very often, the way we present ourselves to the world around us, the way we allow our personalities to bounce off friends, community, our outside environment, is different than who we really are inside. Rosh Hashanah is about reaching the depths of who you are fundamentally, about your authentic self, your true self, stripping away at all of the layers and you know, blocks of veneer that we create to the outside world. So you have to hear the kol shofar itself, the havara, the kol havara, the echo. That's already it's not a distorted kol, but it's already an influenced kol. It's influenced by the echo around you. It's influenced by the environment around you. You have to hear what's real. You have to hear what's authentic. So atokel atocha bar atocha dos atocha pitim kol shama yatzav im kol havara shama lo yatzav. V'chemi shaya ober achare beis haknesses. Let's say somebody is passing through the back of the Beis HaKnesses. So notice, it doesn't say you're sitting in the back of the Beis HaKnesses, because that's not a good place to sit. You're just passing through. You happen to be walking there on your way to a seat much further up in the Beis HaKnesses. Who would want to sit in the back? Oh, Shahaya Beiso Samoch LeBeis HaKnesses. Or let's say you live in Josh Kra's house, and your shul is mamish. You can open your window and hear the rabbi's speech, because there's nobody sitting in the back of the Beis HaKnesses that's saying anything that you could hear. All you hear is the Torah and the tefillah. V'shama kol shofar. Right? But you hear, you open up your window and you hear the voice of the shofar. Or shama kol megillah. Or you hear the voice of the megillah. Right? So why should the Kras pay so much money, right, for seats, right? Amiel's going to get me for this, right? Why should they charge so much for seats? They could literally position their seats right at the window of their house. You know, slip a 20 to somebody who's in the women's section upstairs to open, bust open that window, get approval from all the different committees that's needed to open the window. And then once you have approval, you open the window. And now they can hear everything. They could hear the shofar, they could hear the davening. What do they need to buy seats at the Young Israel? They could charge lower amounts, and they could sell off their seats for a lower, and they could really merchandise, right? Jews know how to work things out. So says the Mishnah, that doesn't work. Why? Well, it works under certain circumstances. And kivin libo, if they had kavana to be yotze, then yotze. V'im lav, but if they happened to just be walking around their house and they heard the shofar, lo yotze, you're not yotze. Afal pi sheze shama v'ze shama, even though both cases they heard it, ze kivin libo v'ze lo kivin libo. And that will bring us into the sugya soon of mitzvos tzrichos kavana. That mitzvos are not just about the auditory experience of hearing the shofar. There has to be some level of intentionality, some level of focus, some level of kavana in order to connect to the mitzvah itself. And how much is that me'akev the mitzvos, and how much is that not me'akev the mitzvos, different types of mitzvos in tefillah, a very, very important discussion. Tanu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learn, aruch v'kitzro, kosher. So let's say you decide you don't want such a long shofar. Anybody who's ever seen Shlomi's shofar knows that it's very, very long. So you decide that shofar, that's a hazard, right? So you want to make the shofar shorter. So making the shofar shorter, that's not a problem. Gidro ve'emidu al gildo, kosher. Let's say you want to shave down the shofar, file it down so that it's thinner, okay? So it's not so thick. So you're going to shave down the shofar. That's also kosher. Cpu zahav b'makom anachas peh. But if you put gold at the opening of the mouth, pasul, that's pasul. Shalom b'makom anachas peh. If you put it not at the opening of the mouth, kosher, that's kosher. See, if he was open bifnim, if you put gold on the inside, puzzle, that's puzzle, obviously, because then the kol is passing through the gold as a separation from the shofar itself. And we need to hear the voice as it's produced and carried from the shofar itself. Mi bachutz, but to put it on the outside, im nishtane kolo mikamos shehaya, if the gold on the outside tampers with the integrity of the kol itself, then puzzle, then it's puzzle. Vim lav, but if it does not, and the kol we hear is the authentic kol of the shofar, and this adornment is just simply a hidur, a beautification of the shofar itself, right? It's an amazing thing that we look at a shofar in the context of Rosh Hashanah, and it looks beautiful, it looks regal, it looks, because we associate it with malchus, right? See the horn of an animal. I think most people do not associate that with something that's beautiful. Maybe hunters, do. But I think most people would see the horn of an animal as Salvim Lav, kosher. But if not, it's kosher. Nike Visismo, what happens if it has a hole and you plug it up? Im Akevis Atakia, if it tampers with the Takia, possible, it's possible. Because then the Takia is not authentic to the shofar itself. It's based on your repair. Vim Lav, and if it not, and even with the fix, it still is its authentic self. So then kosher, it's kosher. Nasan shofar betoch shofar. Let's say you have a really big shofar and you have a little bit of a small shofar, and you stick one shofar in the other shofar. Im kol pnimi shama yotza. If when you blow, you hear the voice of the inner shofar, then you're yotze. What are we worried about? We're worried that if you blow the outer shofar and some of the kol passes through the inner shofar, so now the inner shofar is basically like the gold. It's serving as some sort of barrier between the kol, the breath, and the internal cavity of the shofar itself. Vim kol chitzon shama, but if you hear the voice of the outer shofar, meaning you're hearing the outer shofar, lo yotza, then you're not yotze. So if you hear the inner shofar, meaning you're able to pull the piece up into your mouth so that you could blow the inner shofar, and that's all you're hearing, and it's just encapsulated by an outer shofar, so that would not pass the call of the shofar. Even though we can't see the shofar, and we're not sort of the environment's not interacting with the shofar, but the call is produced by the shofar. Why someone would do this, I can't explain. Tana Rabbanan, says the Rabbanan.
What if it was shorter?
So they discussed that. If it was shorter, the Rishonim discussed that. Very good question. If it was shorter, that would also lechora be a problem, because then the end of then the voice would pass, through the. But I think that's a discussion a little bit if it's shorter. Girdo bein mi bifnim bein mi bechutz kosher. If you shave it down, whether you shave it down from the outside or the inside, it's kosher. Garov amido al gildo kosher. If you shave it down, even if, as long as it could still hold on its gidul, on its original construct, it's kosher. Hiniach shofar betoch shofar. This is just another brisa with some of the same halachas, with a few additional ones as well. Im kol pnimi shamav, we are the inner shofar, yatzav. Im kol chitzon shamav, we are the outer shofar, lo yatzav. Hofcho v'tokabo. What if you flip it over and you blow in it? So Rashi says, we're not talking about here where you blow into the end. We're talking about here is where you, where's the Rashi, where you basically, you boil it up, you soften it up, and you make the,
inside out.
Right, you make the naturally the opening wider, and you make the opening near the mouth, you make wider, and the opening where the voice comes out, you make narrower. And now you want to flip the shofar around, and basically you've kind of reconstructed it to be able to work, but it is not in its normal, natural form. The Gemara says, lo yatza. So, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, lo tema de hufchia kiksuna. It's not talking about where you are able to boil it up and flip it around, meaning like turn it inside out. That's not what it means. That's what I just described. It's where you are mekatzer, the part that you narrow, the part that's wide, and you widen the part that's narrow. My taima, what's the reason?
But if you didn't change it around, then you just have a really big mouth and get it over the end of the other side, blow it that way.
So that I think the Gemara assumes that'll be a problem based on the following answer, based on this answer, because the Amar Rav, Masna, because Ramatza says, the Avarta. Derech havaroso be'inon. that when we say the word, when we talk about the mitzvah of blowing shofar, we don't just use the word tekiya. We use the word vevarta, which means like to pass through, which refers to the fact that the shofar has to pass through in its natural state. Its natural state is you have to blow the horn in the way in which it was originally constructed as a natural horn to be blown. And you cannot, with your own ingenuity, reconstruct it so that it could be blown in a different way. I don't even know if it would work to blow through the... Can you blow through the back? I don't know. There are a lot of instruments, right, that function similarly with the different shofars, with the, right? All the horn section. Any horn player here at all? Can you blow through the other end of a tuba? You can't blow through the other end of a tuba. I don't know. Tivik, I have a funny tuba story, but we'll leave it for another time. So I don't think you can blow. You can't blow in the other end of a trumpet or a tuba, right? I don't know. We'll have to ask Penny Gilden, I think, is a horn player. Okay. Dibeg Shivre Shofros Pasul. If you put together different pieces of a shofar, it's pasul. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan learn. Hosif Olav Kol Shehu. If you add a piece to the shofar, Bein Mimino, Bein Bishalomino, pasul. Whether or not you added shofar itself, like I guess a piece of spare shofar material, or something else, something artificial, it's pasul. Nike Visosmo, if it has a hole and you plug it up, Ben Mimino, Ben Shalom, Bimino, Apostle. Rav Nosa, Nomer Rav Nosa says, no, Bimino, if you use shofar material, kosher, it's kosher. Shalom, Bimino, if you don't use shofar material, Apostle, then it's Apostle. Bimino, kosher? Really? You use shofar material, it's kosher? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Behu Shinishtayer, he qualifies this. If you have to use Bimino, and Behu Shinishtayer, Rubo. It has to be that this plug is only a minority of the shofar, that the vast majority of the shofar remains its original construct. Michlal, that comes to imply, the kishelo bimino, so here holds you need both. You need mino and you need nishtayer berubo. That implies that if you're dealing with the case of shelo bimino, that even if it's nishtayer berubo, it's still possible, right? In other words, that was categorical. Right? In other words, if it's she'eno mino, it's pasul. Whether it's a miut, or certainly whether it's rov. Right? But even if rov the shofar is left in its original construct, if it's she'eno mino, it's pasul. If it's bimino, according to Rav Nosson, it's kosher, but qualifies Rabbi Yochanan, that's only if you're dealing with a scenario where nishtayer berubo, where most of the shofar remains in its original object. There are some that make the diak from the seifa, where Rabbi Nosson said, Shalobimino pasul. That Shalobimino is pasul. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vahusha Nifchas Rubo, and that's only if Shalobimino and Nifchas Rubo. Right? So, in other words, it's not that you need two rules to be kosher, it's that you need two rules to be pasul. To be pasul, it has to be Nifchas Rubo, which means most of it's gone, as well as Eino Mino. So, Michlal, that implies that if you're dealing with the case of Bimino, then Aval Pisha Nifchas Rubo Kosher, right? Which is the opposite diuk as the original version. That if you're dealing with the case of Mino, even if it's Nifchas Rubo, it should be Kosher. Because it's not that you need two things to be Kosher, it's that you need two things to be Pasul. So if you have only one condition, then you could be kosher from the original. Tzipiu zaha mibifnim pasul. If you coat it with gold in the inside, it's pasul. Mibachutz, if it's mibachutz, in nishtana kolo, if it changes the voice, mikamal shehaya, from what it originally was, pasul, and it's pasul from lav, kosher. Nistak leorcho, pasul. Let's say you cut its length, that's pasul. Liravcho, let's say, if you cut, in other words, if you make a cut on its length, so that's already possible. But what if you make a cut lerochbo on its on not its orech but its rochav, its width, so to speak? In nishtayer bo shir tekiya kosher. If you have enough shofar left that it has a shir tekiya, then that's considered kosher. V'im lav possible. V'kama shir tekiya. What's a shir tekiya? Erish Hashem Gamliel, kadesh yachzenu biyado v'yire. enough that you can grab it with your hand, and you could still see that it's a shofar, a little above, a little below, so it doesn't look like you're just blowing into your hand. Lekan o lekan. Hayakolo dako ova otsarur. If the voice is very thin or thick or it's loose, whatever the different types of kolos are, kosher, it's kosher. Shekol ha-kolos ksherin b'shofar. All of the kolos are ksherin b'shofar. So we have a lot of dinim and chumras about what we want out of that shofar. But one of the things that the makri is supposed to be paying careful attention to, sometimes the shofar blower, sometimes the bal tokeya will blow a shofar blow, and it'll have a little bit of like distortion in it, or it'll have a little bit of... So one of the things the makri is listening very, very carefully for is the core kol still going? Or did somehow this distortion break up the original core kol? And that's why sometimes you'll hear when there is distortion that sometimes the makri will paskin that it's fine and they can keep going, because b'di'eved, as long as there's a kol daka, as long as there's a voice, so even if you're getting like, you know, there's lots of schmutz around the kol, but in the middle there you hear that the kol itself is going, that's fine. But if the distortion is cutting up the piece itself, then that's a problem. For the electric guitar players in the audience, so there are many different types of distortion pedals that you can add to your repertoire. And different bands use different types of distortion pedals. I spent a lot of my high school career at Guitar Center on Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles. And lots of different types. So some distort the sound while preserving the core string. So you hear the string going, there's just a lot of sound around it. And some kind of break it up, and that's when you get that really dingy, like, I'm told, heavy metal kind of, you know, music or something. I'm not sure that that's a call either, but anyway, and offline we could discuss the various machlokas achronim of what's better and what's worse and what exactly was being used in November rain. So shalchu leila avod Shmuel, they sent to the avod Shmuel karcho v'toka mahu. So I'm sorry. So they sent to the avod Shmuel karcho v'toka bo yotza. So pshita kulunami midchi karchulo amravashi karchul bischruso. So here we're talking about a case where they made a hole in the top, or they made an additional hole in the top, or a piece on the top. So he says, what do you mean? Of course you're allowed to puncture through the top. So he says, no, we're talking about a case where they pulled off the horn, and there was a piece of the bone that was connected to it also. And they made a hole through that piece in the bone, and therefore blew through that. So Amar Avashi, Shekarchu Bizechruso. So Mao detaim, I might have thought min b'mino chotzeitz. I might think that that's a chatzitza. So kamash malon that you can, since it's part of the piece itself, since it's part of the animal itself, it's okay. Hatokel tocha bor, if you bore into the bor l'tocha dus or into the thing. So we remember. So the kol you're yotze, the kol havara you're not yotze. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, lo shanu elo ozana omdim al sfas habor. So that's only true for the people who are standing on the edge of the bor. We're standing on the edge of the pit. About osana omdim bibor, but if you're standing in the pit itself, yotzu, then you're yotze. So presumably because since you're within earshot of the shofar itself, you're probably hearing the shofar itself. You know, sometimes people are machmir on going to a wedding later. So there's a discussion about using a microphone, right, in various areas of halacha. So are we yotze brachos through a microphone? Could we be yotze shomea ka'ona through a microphone? Or are you now hearing the kol havara? Are you hearing the actual authentic voice? Or are you hearing a representation of that voice? This sugya is relevant to that question. So sometimes you'll hear that in certain at a chuppah, the Masada Kedushin will insist that they remove the microphone at least a little bit from the chasen when he says hariat mekudeshesli, because hariat mekudeshesli is ma'akev. You need amira in order to be mekadesh a woman. You absolutely have to. That has to happen. So you want to make sure that the kala is not hearing, according to those shitos that say that the microphone might be a kol havara, that the kala is not hearing the kol of the speaker system, right, or the call of the, you know, of the microphone, but rather hearing the voice of the chassan themselves. So some very machmir, no microphone at all. In the some, it's okay, you can have the microphone, we want to get it on the video, we want everyone to hear, want people to feel connected to the chuppah. I'm not a big fan of chuppahs today, where you basically come in and you watch people walk down and then no one has any clue what's going on and lots of stuff are happening up there and there's a lot of nodding and then somebody says mazel tov in the front, so then it's like like the shul in Alexandria, right? That they just, you know, about mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, and then the women start to cry. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, but it's all b'shlichus, this emotion. It's not really there. I feel very strongly that if we're at a chuppah, that things should be done up at the chuppah in a way that involve the tzibur, that the tzibur feels connected to what's going on. That's why we have everybody there, not to just be acknowledging that this went on. Adarab, we don't want edus from the crowd. We have our edim to the exclusion of all those others present. We don't have to have the whole chuppah to the exclusion of all those others present. I was once at a wedding where they wanted to be machmir and having the chuppah outside, so they sat everybody inside, and there was a door in the front, and then for the actual Maisa Kedushin, they walked the Chassan and Kala outside. They did the Maisa Kedushin, and then they brought them back in for Sheva Brachas. So, okay, everybody teach their own. But but what do we try to do? We try to involve everybody. So sometimes they'll be careful, at least hold the microphone a little bit away, so that the Kala can hear the Amira from the Chassan themselves. So if you're in the bar, if you're in the pit, right? Not a good analogy to marriage, but if you're in the pit, right? You don't want to hear the echo. You don't hear the echo. You hear the thing itself. See, I guess my anniversary is on my mind. Tanya Nami Achi, we learned in a brisa like this. Hachi Atokeya, the tocha bar. If you blow into the bar, tocha dos yotza, you're yotzi. Vatanan lo yotza. We learned you're not yotzi. Elah Shmamina, kid Rav Huna Shmamina. We hear this is like Rav Huna. Ikad Rami Lahu Mirma. Some presented as a stira. That Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Tokeo Tocha Bro Tocha Dus Lo Yatza. Vatanya, we learned in a Brisa Yatza. And Amravuna came to me, Miyashiv, that Stiro, Lokasha, Kan, La Osa, La Omnin, Al Sfasa Bar, where we say that you're not Yotze because you're Omid on the edge of the bar, and therefore you hear the Kol Avara. Kan, La Osa, La Omnin, Bibor, when you stand in the bar itself, there, you're good to go because you're hearing the call of the Tkiya itself. Okay?
Punish.